We've been talking about being dead, but it's further than just being dead. It's dead and buried. So you're dead and put out of sight. That's the word. It's put out of your sight. Something could be dead, but if it's dead in the middle of us right here, we'll still smell it. We can still touch it. It still affect us, but it's dead and put out of sight. And what's supposed to be seen is the new thing. So that's the thing. Like, again, the word is recognize, see it this way. Like, you know, I could see, he wants us to see it clearly. I could see something. I could see that that's a picture, but a picture of what? You know, he wants to see us to see the picture clearly of what exactly we're looking at. And if we can see the picture clearly, then that'll give us perspective, the right, you know, if you want to know where you're going, you might know you have a map, but if you can't read that map and you don't know where you are on that map, it doesn't mean anything to you. Like the whole book of Romans to me, like when I look at it, it seems to be like the whole thing is an identity crisis. And he's trying to show us, okay, this is what you were. This is where you came from. Now this is what you are. Recognize what you are. And when you see what you are and actually see yourself that way, you should be able to live a different way. And that's what it's about.
Go ahead.
If the believer is dead you know, why do the believers still stand there? I mean, I think this will take us back to, like, you know, that sin is not dead and more of the work reckon, but, you know, that's the question right there. If the believer is dead to sin, why does the believer still sin?
Wait till tomorrow? We'll get that in chapter 7.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have a comment?
I was just looking in King James, because I have New King James, and it says servant in verse 6. But in New King James, it says slaves, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Jesus paid the price, so we do not owe sin anything anymore.
I want to say that I'm looking at my clock, and I'm recognizing that what we're trying to come from, we're trying to come from a transmission or a transition from objective truth, which is something that we didn't know. Somebody told us something, to subjective truth, where what somebody told me is now worked out in my life and in your life. Now, it's a good thing that Scripture doesn't stop with verses 11, 12, and 13. We're going to learn practically how to work these truths out in the remaining verses of this chapter. Somebody says, I don't exactly understand what he's saying. Well, the Spirit of God is a wonderful thing, because he says, I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to show you the practical working out of this thing. You see, it doesn't tell us what we know second. He tells us the knowledge part of it first, and then he builds on that, which is going to be practice, in verses 14 through 23. So, Emil, after you're done here, let's work our way on down into these verses and see how we can work this out.
I want to just recap what we have again. Okay, let's just cover the first, 14 verses before we move to that. We have half hour. Okay, remember in the beginning I told you we're going to change from the law to the economy. We're going to talk about commerce and economy. Now we're talking most of the time, you see how things are working? We're talking about a bank account. We're talking about, there are three big words that we have here that I want you to write down. The first one is knowing. The second one is? Reckoning. Knowing. Second one is reckoning, means calculating. The third one is yielding. Okay, these are the three words that summarize what we were talking about. The first one is know what's in your bank account. What's in your bank account? You're forgiven. You're reconciled. You're justified. You're dead. Your old man is crucified. You're baptized. These are all in your bank account. Okay? They are all, these are facts. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. These are facts. They are in your bank account. You have these things. Now, someone calculated these things. How many of you know what creative accounting is? Do you know what creative accounting is? A creative accounting would do what, Jordan?
Wouldn't they kind of move stuff around and put it in different places to make it look like they have more money than they actually have.
Very good. You know what a creative accounting make 1 + 1? You can make them 3. You can make them 4. You can make them 25. That's creative accounting. You know what happened to people that do that? They go to jail. Now, God is saying that when you, I calculated what you have. I have given you these things. I have given you all of these things. That is my reckoning. I want you to agree with me. That's what God is telling you. You, in verse 9, reckon. That's God calculation. That's God mathematic. That's God's system of calculation. Now, you got to agree with God. If you're going to start having creative accounting, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail because you're going to mess things up. Or the enemy will tell you, well, you are not really forgiven. You don't have that in your account. Or you're not dead. Look at you. And I like what Benjamin said. You know, you're not really dead. But the Lord is saying you are dead. 1 + 1 = 2. And it's solid accounting. God's accounting is solid accounting. So don't start making creative accounting. If God is saying you're dead, you're dead. You're dead. You're buried. You're buried. That's what God is saying. You agree with God in verse 9. Now as a challenge come in verse 11, I think, in the idea of verse 12, in the whole idea of yielding. Now, it's mentioned twice between verse 12 and verse 14. One of them was mentioned as once and for all. Yield yourself to God. It's already happened once and for all. But as far as your members are concerned, you do that day in and day out. Day in and day out. You know what you have? This hand and this hand and this eye in my account book, God saying they're dead. And I agree with God because that's the right accounting. And I'm not going to move things around and make them look like they're not real. This is reality here. So I have to yield to the word of God. I have to yield these hands, those members, those eyes, those feet. Practical, practical stuff. Now that's your responsibility here. Don't sit and tell me, well, but I don't feel it. Forget the feeling completely. You yield. You know, you have agreed with God's calculations, the reckoning, the recognition. And now it's your responsibility. Every time something comes up, you said, no. According to my calculation, according to God's calculation, I am dead. I'm not supposed to respond to that. Then something else comes. You said, but according to my calculation, I am buried. I'm completely disappearing from the scene. I cannot come alive again. According to my calculation, this hand is not mine anymore. It belongs to the Lord. So I'm not going to let it act up again. This is what we have in the first 14 chapters, and then you move on to the rest of the chapter.
Well, I want to give you another word for creative accounting. I know what you mean. But I think that most of us believers, we really know what it means to rationalize. To rationalize is to take what God has given to you and I as a fact, and through the activity of my mind, somehow to convince myself that those facts are not exactly what God said they were. Do you know what follows on the heels of rationalizing? I'll tell you what it is. It's compromising. I rationalize. I leave the standard. And then I compromise. Compromise is not now in the mind. Compromise is what I let my eyes see. Compromise is what I let my ears hear. Where am I allow these feet to take me? And I can't blame my feet. I don't want to say it that way. Or what my hands, or what is worse, what comes out of these lips? You see? There's been a rationalizing, there's been an activity of the mind, and it is now affecting what this body is doing. Now, Emil has taken us back to the facts. He's taken us from the facts to the reckoning or the calculations based upon what God has said. Now I'm going to begin to learn some of the illustrations that Paul gives us. He tells us in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion.